way of the Lord.
Them brothers and sisters to the East Texas Children's Chorus kids, and they are 2 3-year-olds, a 4-year-old, and 2 5-year-olds, and they are going to sing for you today. What? He's got the whole world. All right, not instruments yet. We're going to sing first.
He's got the whole world. Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church. I don't know if y'all are in bad shape. My face hurts from smiling. That's about the cutest thing ever. Welcome to First Presbyterian as we begin this Holy Week. I'd like to bring your attention to the announcements on the rear of the bulletin. We're busy this week, and it's a great time to worship together. On Tuesday, we will have our centering prayer group at 5:30, and then following that at 6:30, we are going to do game night in the fellowship hall. Everyone's welcome. If you need childcare, be sure and contact the church office, and we can arrange for that. On Wednesday will be our brown bag Bible study and choir practice. Thursday is a joint Monday-Thursday service here at First Presbyterian at 6 p.m. And we'd love to see you here for that. On Friday at 6 p.m., we will be joining our friends at Angel of Joy Lutheran Church and have a joint Good Friday service. And then on Sunday, our sunrise service at 7, followed by a pancake breakfast, and then our Easter worship at 10:45. If anyone has any questions, you can contact the church office, and Sue will be glad to answer them. Bring your attention to the red fellowship pads in the pews. If you would, please register your attendance. Take a moment to get to know those that are on your pew. Let us worship the Lord.
Merciful God, your strength and courage pour forth to sustain the witness of your faithful people. Awaken in us the humility to serve wherever creation is broken and in need, that we may follow in the way of our brother Jesus, die as he did to all that separates us from you, and with him be raised to new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. Ancient times we cry, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal. New. Oh, that's right. We already sang our song. Please be seated. Sometimes I get in a habit, and when the service changes, you know, the proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, even when we mess up the worship service. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to go to the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. Christ our Redeemer, try as we might, we do not follow your example. We do not empty ourselves. We do not humble ourselves. We are not obedient. You simply ask us to care about this world you created, but we fail to do even that. Forgive us. You have given us the greatest, clearest example of love. Heal us and help us to follow. Amen. Hear the good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's remain seated and sing together the Agnus Dei. Christ has granted us His peace. So having received the peace of God's forgiveness, let's pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, our way in the wilderness, guide us by your word through these 40 days and minister to us with your Holy Spirit so that we may be reformed, restored, and renewed through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. It can be found on page 23 of your pew Bible if you'd like to read along. Hear now the word of the Lord. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Holy wisdom, holy words.
Again, for the children's sermon today, I'm going to come down to you. You don't have to come up here. And that's... Kids, have you ever been to a place and someone said, "Welcome, we're so glad you're here"? Does that make you feel happy? Does it make you smile when somebody's happy to see you? Yes? That's what Jesus felt when he came into Jerusalem and everybody was saying, "Hosanna in the highest, welcome to the king." But you know, later that week, they started calling him names, and they started spitting on him, and they started hitting him and doing lots of mean things to him. And then he felt sad. Sometimes you feel sad, particularly when people say mean things. Yeah. And you know what makes Jesus so special to us, among other things? Is that he is with us and understands when we're happy and understands when we're sad. And that's what, when Jesus came to be with us, that's part of why he came and became human, to be with us and understand what it means to be happy and what it means to be sad. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for coming for us and that you understand what it means to be happy and to be sad. Amen. Thank you. Our next reading is from Matthew 27, beginning with verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who's called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priest also, along with scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to, for he said, I am God's son. The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, this man is calling Elijah. At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, truly, this man was God's son. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus went from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows in the space of a week. One minute he's being recognized as the son of Israel's greatest hero, King David, praised as the long-awaited king, and honored by the Jerusalem equivalent of a ticker tape parade. The next minute, he's being ridiculed, tried without representation, sentenced to capital punishment, and killed in the most humiliating manner imaginable, that is, crucified. It's as if the great-grandson of George Washington showed up in New York, brought with him the cure for cancer, and was honored with a parade down the Canyon of Heroes, the nickname for the route through the center of the New York skyscrapers, complete with ticker tape flying from the windows. And then just a week later, stripped of his clothes and nailed to a tree in Central Park. Jesus knows what it means to experience the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. Such a Savior understands what we have experienced. Seems like only yesterday when the stock market was at its highest high, unemployment was at its lowest low. Now banks are failing, interest rates are climbing, and inflation seems to be out of control. Tornadoes are ripping across the country. Trains are derailing, spilling poison, while children are being shot in their classrooms at a Presbyterian school. Russia bombs innocent civilians in Ukraine, while countries that rely on grain shipments from Ukraine go hungry. We wonder if COVID-19 will ever go away. And maybe in the coming Texas heat, or maybe it'll come back when the temperatures drop again. We need a Savior who understands highs and lows. We have a Savior who understands highs and lows. We have a Savior who understands suffering. We have a Savior who understands the fickleness of public opinion and the cruelty of a court driven by a mob rather than justice. We have a Savior who experienced the worst the world has to offer. On Palm Sunday, we have a tendency to focus on the triumphal entry with children waving palm branches. We then jump to Easter with Easter egg hunts and new spring fashions. It's easy to gloss over the suffering and pain between Palm Sunday and Easter. We all too quickly want to focus on the happy ending. But we live in a world that still experiences suffering. We need to know that God is with us in our suffering. And indeed, God through Jesus Christ endured the worst the world has to offer. In the early Christian church, there were some theologians known as the Cappadocian Fathers. They were known, among other things, for their theology that Christ redeemed us through experiencing our pain. They said that which was assumed was redeemed. Now, while there are some problematic aspects of their theology, there's real comfort in approaching that Jesus truly became human and understands what we experience. In fact, as bad as things get, Jesus experienced worse. Jesus experienced the elation of the triumphal entry, but shortly thereafter experienced the passion. In today's culture, we generally hear the word passion in terms of intense love and desire. However, passion comes from the Latin word passio, meaning suffering. When we speak of the passion of Christ, we are recognizing the suffering of Christ. We are recognizing that Jesus willingly experienced the pain and suffering this world has to offer for us and for our salvation. When we are in the midst of trying times, focus on better times is not always helpful. Sometimes we need to say, "Yes, I'm in pain." Sometimes we need those around us to say, "I'm here with you. I'm present." We need a Savior who not only assures us of everlasting life, but also experienced suffering and is with us in our suffering. When we walk slowly through Holy Week, we sit with Jesus and the disciples on Maundy Thursday and experience the Last Supper. We go to the Garden of Gethsemane and hear Jesus pray so earnestly, he sweats drops of blood. We see the betrayal of Jesus by one of his closest friends. We see the cruel and unjust treatment of Jesus by the temple leaders and the Roman governor. On Good Friday, we see the painful details of Russian capital punishment by crucifixion. We see the suffering of Jesus. All this happens between Palm Sunday and Easter. Because of the tendency to skip over the events of Holy Week, Palm Sunday has also been designated Passion Sunday. Today we remember that Jesus was not only our peaceful, triumphant Savior riding into Jerusalem on a colt, but we also remember that Jesus is our ever-present Savior who's with us in our pain and our suffering. And that makes all the difference. Appropriately, today being the first Sunday of the month, we go to the table where Jesus told us to remember him with bread and cup, which represent the blood and the body of Jesus. In remembering Jesus' suffering, we remember that He is with us in our good times and in our bad. Jesus understands our triumphs and our suffering. Hosanna in the highest, and praise be to our Savior who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. So at this time, we come to the table. This is the Lord's table. Not First Presbyterian Church's table, not the Presbyterian Church USA's table, but the Lord's table. And all who seek Him are welcome here. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and from north and south and sit together at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with His disciples, He took the bread and broke it after having blessed it, and He gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized Him. Our Savior invites those who seek Him to share the feast which He has prepared. Let us pray together. Gracious God, pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these Your gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. In union with Your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that You will fulfill Your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. Keep us faithful in Your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all Your saints in the joy of Your eternal realm. Great is the mystery of faith. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. So the Lord Jesus, on the night of His arrest, He took bread, and after having blessed it, He broke it. And He said, "This is My body broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, He took the cup, and He said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant sealed in My blood." As often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the saving life, death, and resurrection of Jesus until He comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will the communion servers please come forward?
Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you.
This is the body of Christ broken for you. It is our custom to all drink the cup together. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Holy One, for the body and blood of our Lord, given with love for the world. Send us out in your Spirit to share the good news of salvation and give ourselves for others. In the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Now, as you're able, please stand and let us say together the Nicene Creed. What do you believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 521, In Remembrance of Me. Please be seated. There's only one Lord and God, from whom all things come and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our gifts to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. God of glory, as people brought gifts to the infant Jesus, we bring our gifts to you. May these gifts be used to lift up those who are oppressed, to bring deliverance to those who are in need, to support those who are poor, and help those who are in trouble. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. In Christ Jesus, we have a great high priest who knows our weakness and suffering. Therefore, with boldness, let us seek God's grace. Lord, in your mercy, with boldness, we pray for the church. Let the mind of Christ be in us, giving away the riches of heavenly glory, taking the place of humble service on earth. Lord, in your mercy. With boldness, we pray for our communities. Let us stand with those who suffer, the outcast, despised, and forsaken, prisoners and those condemned to death. Lord, in your mercy. With boldness, we pray for all nations of the world. Let the nations see your suffering servant, who vindicates victims of violence, who sustains the weary with a word. Lord, in your mercy. With boldness, we pray for the earth. Let the whole earth tremble this day, not with the fear of destruction, but with the hope of redemption. Lord, in your mercy. With boldness, we pray for loved ones. Let your face shine upon the weak, those who spend their lives in sorrow, those whose souls and bodies waste away. Lord, in your mercy. To you, O God, we entrust these prayers, knowing that you alone can provide grace to help in our time of need. In the name of our great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, our sovereign and our Savior. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 198. Ride on in majesty. Thank you. to you through the Holy Spirit. I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Praise God that we have a Savior who came to bring us everlasting life. Praise God that we have a Savior who understands the hard times and is present with us even in the depths of our worst times. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.